Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection. And joining us today is Stuart Pierce, an internationally renowned voice coach and sound healer who has helped many at Shakespeare's Globe Theatre and the Webber Douglas Academy of Dramatic Art in London. Stuart has worked with numerous celebrities and state persons, as well as with corporations such as the BBC and L'Oreal. He also coached the London 2020 Olympic bid team. Stuart is the author of The Angels of Atlantis, The Alchemy of Voice, and newly available on the market, the Angel Heart Sigils cards, which include the mystical symbols from the Angels of Atlantis shared by Source and which vibrate a love from God to utterly transform your life. Hello, Stuart.
Hello there. Hello there. And may I say there's another book which is called The Heart's Note, which is so fantastic, and that book comes between The Alchemy of Voice and The Angels of Atlantis. There's a gradation, there's a sequence of master training there. So thank you so much for having me on your program.
You're very welcome, and there's a trilogy, and how wonderful that spiritual number
is. We can call it a trilogy. I'm in the middle of the fourth book at the moment, so it could be called a quadrupedally.
that's wonderful. And Stuart, I'm so excited to have an opportunity to share your extensive wealth of knowledge about the ancient civilization of Atlantis that was described by Edgar Cayce, who many of our listeners know was a most profound intuitive healer and prophetic visionary of this century. And for a long time, I have felt inclined to learn more about Atlantis and the wondrously scientifically advanced citizens of that time and place. You know, many great minds have written accounts of Atlantis, such as Plato, Francis Bacon, Helena Blavatsky, Rudolf Steiner, and others, as they searched for the divine within themselves and a way to bring heaven to earth. Correct, right? That is the goal, to make ourselves and the world a more divine place. Now, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, each show seeks to explore the many dimensions of life through a greater awareness of the laws of energy, time and space, and the study of human development for the continued search of our human and spiritual potential. So, Stuart, please tell us something about your interest in that ancient culture of Atlantis and how you began an awareness and communication with the 12 healing angels that supported life in that time and place. Were you aware of these enlightened beings as a child, or did other events in your life lead you to this awareness? Big question.
Yes, I'm just trying to think of the best way of answering it, because it's a very multi-layered question. and, you know, what I'd love is just for us to have a conversation rather than to engage in intellect. Although here we are being precise with thought, because thought creates reality. The angels are beings that I was aware of as a child. As a child, I was aware of the fact that I had an ability that it seemed very quickly very few other people had. I thought everybody could do what I was doing, which was to see spirit, which was to see energy, see elemental force, the David Kingdom and so forth. And so I remember at the age of 6, 7, meeting a being that announced itself as being Archangel Michael. And this was a very humble situation, in the sense of there I was with my mother, walking through a street in London where I was brought up, and outside a building which I was told was a church, I noticed that there was a wrought iron statue, a flying being, a human being with wings, against this this church. So it wasn't a very old church, it was a modern creation since the post-war years, when the city of London was damaged very badly by Hitler's bombs. As I stood outside his building and said, "Mummy, where are we? What is this?" I was told, "Well, this is a church. Remember the church that we go to every Sunday morning. And that is Archangel Michael." And this being looked at me, as it were, and I heard within my consciousness, "I will always be with you." And this was you know, this was a six-year-old child that was not delusional and not expecting something like this to happen. And I felt very informed. And indeed, Michael has always been with me. Michael has shown himself on so many occasions. It's very difficult talking about angels because they're of course, non-sexual. They're asexual. So we say he, she, what. Anyway. I'm always in that constant dilemma. and that's why I find it very extraordinary to leap forward to 1987 during a very remarkable period of our own planetary history. This is during the August weekend of August 15, 16, 17, 1987, which we now know in recorded history as being the harmonic convergence, created by an astrological configuration, a very unique proportion where several grand trines opened in the heavens. And to epitomize what I mean by this, the Mayan people suggested that at that time, 144,000 rainbow-like warriors were awakened in order to prepare the world through the 25 years worth of light workership, whereby we would actually reach a point where our physical presence would be so lit by a divine communion that we would be able to walk into the possibility of recognizing that we're fifth-dimensional beings, which effectively is what took place on December the 21st, 2012. So there I was during the harmonic convergence, working as a clairvoyant in a store in a very remarkable town in Somersetshire, which is known as Glastonbury, which is the heart chakra of the world. And by that time, I'd switched back on, and I'd been working as a professional intuitive for about 7 years. And there I was, feeling slightly giddy with all the energies that were palpating through this very remarkable Earth vortex. And so went to the Tor, which is a very large hill where the Michael Mary ley lines from the Great Pyramid of Giza come through that particular part of the United Kingdom. And whilst I was there meditating, surrounded by many other people who had come from all over the world to that very remarkable Earth energy vortex, I heard 12 very unique harmonics that surprised me in the middle of my meditation, opened my eyes, and in front of me were these 12 extraordinary orbs of light, these very large orbs of multicolored dimension, that said to me, "We are the angels of Atlantis, and we are going to give you a body of work which will be a temple of sound healing known as the Alchemy of Voice." And this is how it goes. Well, these wonderful beings have been talking to me since that time. They've changed my life. They've changed my life utterly so that I can be free to move around the world and speak to whomever will have me speak to them, or indeed open into silence or through sonic meditation, whereby these angels speak. And it's having a profound effect. So there's the answer. That's the full answer.
All right. Well, let me go back to something else, because I have a connection to you in regard to what you just said. I studied with Ruth Rendelay, and she teaches the Seraphim Blueprint Healing System, also taught to her by a seraphim, archangels. There is a hierarchy of angels, and the seraphim, I believe, is one above. Now, when I was at a meditation group with this teacher, now, I had no understanding of angels. I was not brought up with these concepts. Later in life, I have developed as an intuitive and medium, and developed many, many spiritual gifts. But and maybe earlier I had them also as a child, but they were not allowed to blossom at that time. So I'm a late bloom. I have a Jewish background now, but let me just tell you this story. So here I am at this meditation group, a very deep meditation, and I see myself swimming under the water, going towards an island with glass and golden buildings, and I realize I have no equipment. How am I swimming under the water to this place? And when I open my eyes, the man next to me was a young addiction counselor. And he was sitting next to me. I didn't say a word to him. And he said to me that he had experienced a deep meditation in Mexico at the Mayan ruins. And he was swimming underwater towards this island, large glass buildings. And he knew it to be Atlantis. Well, so, maybe perhaps when we were in spirit, in between incarnations, we discussed some of these events and remembered them, or perhaps we were there at that time. The possibilities are opened for discussion, but I have had a very, I was asked a question the other day by my granddaughter, who's four. She said, she stated to me, there are no angels and no fairies. They're all make-believe. Now, she's 4 years old. She's being told this by other people. And I leaned over very quietly and I said to her, there are many things we cannot see, but they're real nevertheless. And we must keep our mind open to the joy and light of new visions and new experiences and the wonderment of things beyond this place. I didn't know how else to say it, because I don't want her to be cut off at such an early age from what I now know to be a reality beyond this reality.
Mm. Well, I think that's very beautiful advice. She is, after all, only four.
Yeah, but she's being told what to believe in and what not to believe in. And
who
I think
is telling her?
Well, other people, obviously not me, because I just keep them open to the magic and beauty of expansion and energy, because they have such beautiful creativity within them, and such all of us are able to connect to these higher beings if we will remain open. And that's what I teach.
So maybe the angels want you to have a word with the... not just with your granddaughter, but with the people who have given her the information.
Well, not as easy to do if they're closed-minded. But in this show, we bring a greater awareness of many, many possibilities to others. And that is a beginning for some people. Now, let's get back to something that I'd love you to talk about. So tell us about using voice alchemy as a healing modality through our sacred voice sound fields and as a transmutational force. Tell us something about that concept.
What would you like to know?
Well, what I really like to know is the blueprint of creation and all of life, and how it was seen and was the vision of those Atlantean times by the 12 characteristics given by the angels, and how and what's coming. In other words, what can we garnish from sound, the core of sound, and the interaction that you have between these higher entities of light and wisdom? How is it going to transform us in the future?
Because you were asking about 50 million questions, so let me just let me go into the very core of, I feel, the essence of what you're asking. That your spirit, your imagination, your emotional body has been excited by the notion of the fact that sound is at the very core of creation, which is what I write about. And if sound is at the very core of creation, that we have a modality, we have a way, we have a means by which we can move any disharmony, any mortal disharmony, into immortal, if you like, harmony or transcendence. So yes, sound is at the very core of creation. We read about this in every single world culture, whether it be the Navajo people speaking of the great spider woman singing and bringing all into creation, or whether we hear about God said, let there be light, and there was light in the book of Genesis. Or we read at the beginning of the new gospel that was presented by St. John, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, which I understand that Word was originally sound, and the word sound, when it was written in the original Greek, was transformed into the Word, because the Word is the Logos, and Logos means, in Greek, the intelligibility of sound. We know that, in a very simple level, that when we first enter this world, if we are able to, we breathe as we enter out of our mother's birth canals, and we breathe in and we make a big sound called the first roar of life, and we go on sounding And we all know how powerful our voices are, that a problem shared is a problem halved, that we love listening to people's voices, whether they're singing or speaking, that provide us with certain energies, and we do not like listening to some voices that are very shrill and harsh and strident and staccato. So here we live in a culture, whether it be in the West or in other areas of the world, where we are ravished by the human voice, whether it's singing or speaking. And deep within, there is this resonance of that person's soul, that we feel that when we hear certain voices, that we're in touch with in a divine communion with that person and the way that they're feeling and the way that they're thinking about the world. So we each have a note. We each have a sound deep in our very beings, that when we sound it, it is the song of our soul. When we find that note, it comes right through the heart. If you take away the intellect of the word, all you're left with is sound. And so, in other words, that we began to speak and sound, and sometimes grunt, and sing and chant about the way that we felt about the world. And that's why we're sounding in the way that we are. So you see, if you take away your ability to read, all you hear is sound. The Elizabethans, many of whom did not read, said that all speech was decorated silence. Where today do you go to hear perpetual silence? It's very rare, right? I'm talking about silence beyond the noise, and particularly the noise of the head.
Oh, yes, the mind chatter. But you know what? I think that we're looking for a belief that collaboration rather than competition is the next evolutionary step. And I think that was a theme of the Atlanteans, and I think it was a theme of the angels who supported the Atlas priests of that time. And you say in the book that we will move past the condition of Homo sapiens, meaning intelligence, to Homo noeticus, which means wisdom. And one day, eventually, where will we move? Into a state of Homo luminous, human angels. So the potential for light and wisdom and brightness and connection and love from the heart and through all of the universe is at our doorstep if we will just find the means to develop ourselves past the physical world and reclaim our inner being and our spiritual world. And your book described some of that very, very beautifully. I just wanted to get that in somehow.
Well, thank you.
You see, I just need
to pick up one or two points. The point is that we in physical form are in an expression of the great image of the Infinite One. There's a very ancient story which says that God, the Infinite One, made a statue of clay in the form of his or her own image and asked the soul to enter the statue of clay. And the soul refused because the soul was free and liberated to be part of its own inclusivity, its own magic, its own love, its own joy. And so God, in infinite wisdom, asked the angels to sing a seraphic chorus. And the soul was so enchanted, was so beguiled, that the soul literally made a pact with God and came into the body of clay, and so began Adam Cadman, so began the human form. This is a huge cosmic experiment that we're taking part in, and that sound permeates the conviction of this whole celebration that you've spoken of. The Atlantean peoples were living a very different physiology from that we live. They were living a 12-helix DNA. We are only living a double-helix DNA.
Why is that? What happened that we come after them, and they were more advanced with their DNA and their intellectual and their spiritual life? What happened?
They were more advanced from a spiritual point of view, yes. They were more advanced from a spiritual point of view. They were more advanced from a spiritual point of view. And so the clamor of the intellect did not even come into this. There wasn't even need for collaboration, do you see, because they hadn't even dreamed about the fact that there was substance of exclusivity. Because when we're vibrating on a level of frequency where love is all there is, then why would I wish to hurt anybody? Why would I wish to compete against somebody? That just isn't the concept. The interesting thing is that we're living a vastly accelerated evolutionary force on this planet. It's a very unique planetary sphere. It's very unique in terms of its natural biology or its bio nature. And these wonderful beings of Atlantis were living that very freely, but of course everything evolves. And so as the energy evolved, and particularly as density in physical form became more enriching for them, they decided to develop certain experiments which drew them into diversity, which drew them into exclusivity, which drew them into diversity in the sense of competition.
So
the denser, the more dense we become, let me just finish the idea, the more dense we become, the more the possibility is for the fact that the higher vibration of the DNA becomes lessened. And so there's a very simplistic, I mean, you asked me a huge question, as a very simplistic way of being able to answer the question.
So
that
as
we chose to move into a different vibration. That is neither right nor wrong. We just simply moved into a different vibration.
So as
what we've learned to do through our density is to judge these things, do you see? And if we can actually just simply feel that the communion that we're all about in the non-competitive state that you were talking about earlier, that the communion is that love is all there is. And once we actually feel that love, then we don't need to judge. We merely discern and comment through observation.
Well, I see it this way. As we became more...
So you don't agree with that?
I do agree with everything you just said. I'm
good.
Just going
it
to
sounds
say...
as though you were actually diversifying.
No. I agree with everything you say. I just
Wonderful.
Want to say it in another way. I want to say as we moved into competition and more materialism in our world, more use of the mind as opposed to the heart, more illusion, we lost a great connection to the universe and to our eternal soul nature. And we moved in a different direction than we began, than they began with. It seems very simply to me that that's where we are right now. We are in such a state of technology and so much into the physical world that we are only functioning as 3 to 4 dimensional beings. They were 5th dimensional beings. Now the time could return when we could go, I don't want to say back to that state. I would say rather go using what we know now to another state, a higher state. And that is what so many people who come on my show are looking for the evolution and expansion of the human being and the soul at the same time to develop into loving and cooperative members of the cosmic universe, to be conscious citizens of the universe. And getting back from that thought, I'd like to go to something about the voice. It's very important that people understand.
So I completely agree with all that you've said, of course. I feel that what you've done is to express in your own way what I was saying.
Yes, absolutely.
But you see, the thing that I was wanting, the point that I was trying to make is that this is all evolutionary, and so therefore there needs to be no judgment. As soon as we judge, we separate. And so we're not doing that we espouse, which is to heal our own shadow so that we can literally begin to ascend onto higher octaves of light. And all that we need to do is to follow the example of some of the great ones that we see, like His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who resonates an aspect of compassion which is so moving that you literally feel the cells in your body radiating in coherence with what he is feeling. But His Holiness will say, happiness is a decision, not a condition.
Well, we all, on some level, feel what another person is feeling or experiencing, and that is part of the evolution also, that we are becoming more empathic. And that's a beautiful gift from spirit. And I think the children that are being born today will embody more and more of these spiritual abilities and will bring us forward. And you're right. We need to have no judgment. We have only to understand what is, what was, and what will always be, that we are spiritual beings having a physical life. And it is a beautiful life if we can realize that we don't have to compete, we don't have to be perfect, and with that we have divine entities around us, helping us, guiding us, and we can create and manifest our own potential. Now, I'd just like to say something before we move on, because we don't have that much time, about the voice and what the voice.
Yes, how long do we have, by the way?
About 5 minutes. Okay. A favorite movie of mine is The King's Speech. I'm sure you're aware of that. And many people have to find their own voice. They have to move past their own fears. And you say in the book that we can tell when a person is under stress. There are some symptoms or some signals that we're given when we hear a person speak, when they're not comfortable in their own physical body. And they can learn to be more comfortable in their own physical body with training, with spiritual guides, with voice coaches, with sound healing. I do Reiki, which is energy healing, which helps to bring people more in connection to their own soul essence. And they feel so peaceful, they look so peaceful, and they know more about their own life purpose as a result of any of these explorations of the soul. So tell us something. What does the voice say about you? How can people begin to think about the quality of their voice, the words they say, and how they can resonate more of their actual creative nature through their voice and their words?
If words arise from the heart, they will enter the heart. If words arise from the tongue alone, they will not pass beyond the ears.
Good. And so we have to notice in our own voice and in other people's voices certain characteristics, perhaps, tones or...
What I've just said, my dear. It's to do with the fact that if we're really resonating physiologically, if we're really resonating intellectually through our hearts, the words as sound lifts come together so that we resonate an impulse which all people feel. If words arise from the heart, they enter the heart. If words arise from the tongue alone, they will not pass beyond the ears. So let me give you a demonstration of this. We've all been educated and assimilated and socialized into living in our head. It's a purely physical process, you see, that sound was made flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, sound is a way of being able to bring ourselves into a super coherence where we're not just thinking in the head, we're literally thinking in our hearts and feeling in our hearts.
And I agree wholeheartedly with you. I want to thank you, Stuart Pearce, for sharing the ancient wisdom of the 12 angels of Atlantis, whose love, grace, and courageous nature of their hearts offer guidance now as they did long ago. The symbols of the angel heart signals, which are the mystical symbols they have shared with you and you now share with us, may penetrate through the fears and illusions of our physical world, returning the human condition to a time of great spiritual renewal. To learn more about Stuart Pearce and to purchase his books and angel heart sigils, go to stuartpearce.com. In summarizing
thealchemyofvoice.com.
Okay, thank you for correcting
and
me.
And theangelsofatlantis.com. stuartpearce.com is all about my corporate work, which is as a public speaking coach. But going into thealchemyofvoice.com and theangelsofatlantis.com lead the listener or the viewer into a realm of extraordinary possibility.
Great. Okay, I will be writing this up with the show.
Thank you. This will all
be written down so there will be no mistakes. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, I am reminded by the characteristics and virtues of each of the 12 angels of Atlantis and the citizens they served at that time in Atlantis and now, that we are guided by the wondrous aspects of universal energy, love, and the expanding truths of heaven and earth. Within each of us is the personal will and freedom to find our true voice and way beyond the physical challenges of sometimes this lower vibrational planet. allowing us to evolve through the use of kind words and acts and to become greater souls, bridging the gap between cosmic forces and dimensions. Steward exemplified many of my own remembered views of past, present, and future visions by saying, and I quote, "Obviously, not all our challenges are so fundamentally simple to release, but the fact remains that there is always the potential to grow and to transmute. Remember the universal truth. Nothing happens that is random. All events are guided by a higher wisdom. Chaos is an illusion. There is total order in all events. We simply need to perceive it as such, even when an event is deeply shocking. In all activities, there is the possibility for growth, for change. The clarion call is, thought creates reality." I am your host of Healing From Within, Cheryl Glick, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, and WebTalkRadio.net, and DreamVision7Radio.com to hear worldwide leaders share their stories and vision about a new and exciting way to live your life. Thank you.